Shalom and good day, greetings, brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us continue today with our subject, harmonizing the foregrounds and the stature of a perfect man. Yesterday, I've laid the foundation of the message I want to convey to you, brethren, but of course, we will be getting clearer and clearer as we move on. We saw yesterday the different points of view regarding how God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. We also saw how those believers have swayed their understanding from believing in eternal security, from believing salvation by grace to believing that works matters in our destiny towards the future, and that we could fall along the way by our works. Now, checking God's sovereign will in choosing, we can say that everything is God's doing. From foreknowledge to predestination, to calling, to justification, to glorification, everything is God's doing. Amen. But there are questions that could only be answered if we know what has transpired in the infinite mind of God when He foreknew us. What really was His basis when He chose you and me? Now, we have first foreknowledge, second predestination, third calling, fourth justification, and then fifth glorification. That's what Romans chapter 8 is telling us. Amen. But don't you know, brothers and sisters, that in between a foreknowledge and predestination, there happened an election. The ones who were predestinated were the chosen ones. Amen. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And so foreknowledge, the correct sequence is that foreknowledge, then election, then predestination. And so what must have been in the infinite mind of God before they were elected? Amen. Let us read Matthew 13 this time. Matthew 13 in verses 3 to 8. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 8. Verse 3, and He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Amen. Now, you know, regarding this scripture, a brother once asked me that if God is a merciful God, if God is a loving God, full of long suffering, if God is full of grace, why wouldn't He just put fence, for example, on the seed that fell by the wayside, so that the birds could not get near and devour the seeds up. And why wouldn't just he put extra soil on the top of the rocky ground in order to in order for the root to anchor into, and then the plant won't wither away? And why wouldn't he just weed the thorns that sprung up so that the plant won't be choked up? Why? That was the question of a certain brother upon reading this portion of the scripture. Brothers and sisters, if you can see, if you will think on these questions, aren't they sensible questions? Right? Yes. And indeed, they are questions that need answers for a thirsty soul to be quenched. Amen. But why does the merciful God not do all those activities mentioned? Why not he extend mercies, his mercies unto them, unto these grounds? Amen. Now, the answer to this question lies in our understanding that God is only interested in the good ground. Yeah. You heard it right, brothers and sisters. God is only interested in the good ground. Brothers and sisters, this parable was interpreted by Jesus himself in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, yeah. The seed is the word of God. The grounds are the hearts of men, the hearts of people. People that that is fallen, men with free will, and a fallen man, a fallen nature, yes. And we can see, brothers and sisters, in between these two variables mentioned in this parable, the seed and the grounds, we can say that there is no problem with the seed, because the seed is the word of God. You know, when a farmer buys a seed, the first thing that he looks into is the percentage of germination that is written at the pouch. There are those with 90% germination, 80% germination, or 90% germination. And of course, the farmer that would select the biggest germination percentage, of course. Amen. But as to this parable, we can see, brothers and sisters, that there is no problem with the seed. This will surely germinate, because the seed is the word of God. The word of God shall surely germinate 100%. But the problem is the kind of the ground that the seed fell. Amen. Amen. This is where the problem resides. The kind of ground, the kind of heart, the word of God is sown. Amen. The way this parable was written seems to show events that are happening already in the course of time. It seems to defect an actual event already. However, brothers and sisters, we've learned and we've talked just yesterday that whatever is happening in the course of time, it has already transpired in the infinite mind of God, even before the foundation of the world. Amen. And so I believe, brethren, that all these grounds were before God in his infinite mind before the foundation of the world. They were foreknown of God, but God, before God was every heart. Before God was every spirit, every soul of man, amen, before the foundation of the world. God foreknew them. And this was his basis in choosing. This was his basis in predestinating, amen. there was the grounds before him, but no, there was no seed yet that was sown. There were only hearts, soul, spirits of men foreknown by God. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, that a good farmer has the capacity to know the type of soil, the type of ground he is to cultivate with even before there is plant growing? Yes, a farmer knows where is the good ground for his seed to be sown. Even before there is a plant, even before there is a seed, the good farmer knows the type of ground, knows the type of soil. Amen. And God is a good farmer. God is a husbandman. Amen. And he is the husbandman that is patiently waiting for the precious fruit of the earth until his plant, until his seed receives the early and the latter rain. Amen. And so before God, in his foreknowledge, are the different types of grounds, the hearts of men. Now, remember that it is the sovereign will of the farmer, it is the sovereign will of the husbandman, God, where and what would he consider good ground. Amen. The grounds could never say to the farmer, "Choose me because I am good." No, it's all in the farmer's choice. Amen. In the same way as God foreknew all the hearts of men, it's all his choice. It's all his sovereign will. It's all his choosing. Amen. Remember, all these hearts have God given free will. All these souls have God given the pre-moral agent. All these souls, all this heart are in the state of a fallen being. Amen. Now, nevertheless, in God's economy, there are still spirits whom God considered good grounds. Amen. There was no seed yet that was sown. The good husbandman, who is God himself, was foreknowing all the grounds. Amen. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? So in the foreknowledge of God are the grounds of fallen men with their own free will. Amen. But among them, among those grounds, there were still grounds that God considered good. Amen. Amen. And all this was, I believe, the basis of God in choosing and then predestinating. It was not the word of God was sent to us and that all that were foreknown that received were chosen. No, sir. If that is the case, then I can say that it was not God who chose first. It was we who chose first, and not the Lord. Amen. But the Lord said in John 15, verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you," amen, "that you should go and bring forth fruit." Amen. So it is God who chose us. Amen. By this basis for knowing our grounds. Amen. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? Amen. There was no seed yet that was sown. The good husbandman, who is God himself, was foreknowing the grounds. And he has the ability, he has the capacity to know the grounds even before the seed was planted and bear fruit. Amen. Some of the fallen men with free will were having grounds by the wayside. Some God considered like stony grounds. Some like grounds with thorns, and some were found to be good grounds. Amen. And God, the good farmer, of course choose the good grounds for his seed to bear fruit. Amen. He predestinated these good grounds and leave the other grounds for themselves. Amen. He was only interested in the good grounds. He doesn't care about the wayside. He doesn't care about the stony places. He doesn't care about the stony grounds. I think this answers the question of the brother I told you a while ago, who asked a question regarding this. God was not interested on the wayside. That is why he didn't put fins around the seed around. Amen. God was not interested on the stony ground. That is why he didn't care about it. He was not he was not interested on the thorny grounds either. That is why he did not weed it out. Amen. God is only interested in the good grounds, for it will be here in the course of time that the seed will bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now look here, brothers and sisters. This understanding will be justified in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, good ground is termed contrite spirit. I say it again. In the Old Testament, good ground, the heart which is a good ground, is termed contrite spirit. Let us read Psalms 34, verse 18. Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. To where the Lord is nigh? To whom the Lord saveth? The Lord is nigh and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. Now in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Amen. To whom the eyes of the Lord will look into? To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, this verse, Isaiah 57, verse 15. And we can see here about the story about the heart, which is like a good ground. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, high and lofty one, that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the spirit of the contrite ones. Amen. Said here, I dwell in the high and holy place. I inhabiteth eternity. With whom? With him that is of a contrite spirit. Amen. I inhabited eternity. In eternity, God inhabited with him that is of a contrite spirit. Amen. Let's continue. Verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit shall fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went frowardly in the way of his heart. Now I remember this story with Adam. Amen. Because of Adam's sin, God hid. Amen. He was wroth, and man went on frowardly in his own way, in the way of his own heart. Amen. So These men are still fallen men who went forwardly in the way of his heart. But these men are of contrite spirit, as foreknew by God, good grounds. Amen. And so verse 18 said, verse 18, I have seen his ways and will heal him. Amen. I have seen his ways and will heal him. Healing here means healing spiritually. Amen. I have seen his ways and heal him. And I will heal him. Amen. I will lead him also. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will lead him also. Who are these men? Who are these men? Men that is of a contrite spirit. Men having good grounds. Amen. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Amen. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. And I will heal him. Amen. God will only create the fruit of the lips to them that is of a contrite heart. That is a heart with considered good ground. Amen. He will lead them. He will heal them. But as to others, amen. But as to others, other grounds. Verse 20 says, but the wicked are like troubled sea. Hallelujah. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no place, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Amen. Can you say that, brothers and sisters? God is dwelling in eternity, is dwelling with them that are of a contrite spirit. Amen. So God foreknew the hearts before the foundation of the world. And he saw among men good grounds. He saw among the fallen men still good grounds. He saw among the fallen men still contrite spirit. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God foreknew them and chose them and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. It is not him that runneth, it is not him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. Nothing is from us. Nothing is from us. Only God foreknew every ground before the foundation of the world. But God could still blame. Amen. God could still blame and find fault in men. Just like what is being said in Romans 9 verse 19. Romans 9 verse 19. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Amen. Why? Brothers and sisters, could he still find fault? Amen. It was because our hearts, our ground was the basis for his choosing, for his election, for predestinating the quality of the ground we have. Amen. So he could still find fault. Amen. And so when he predestinated the good grounds, the Bible said, the steps of the righteous man are ordained by the Lord. Amen. It is only the good grounds, the righteous man, whose steps are ordained by the Lord. Amen. For it is the Lord that worketh in us, both to will and to do his own good pleasures. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing more than being chosen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And before the foundation of the world, having considered by God as a good ground and chosen and predestinated, God worketh in us both to will. So to have a desire on spiritual things, to will on spiritual things, it is God's workmanship in our lives. Amen. And even to do His will, even to do His own pleasure, it is God's workmanship in the lives of those men of contrite spirit. Men have been good grounds. Men who are predestinated. Amen. These verses only apply to those predestinated seeds of God with a contrite spirit. Amen. And so we are secured eternally in God's hands. Praise the Lord. And then you might ask me, why then God sow His seed on the other three grounds? If He is only interested on the good ground, why does He sow seeds on the grounds, on the other three grounds? What is His purpose? Amen. Brothers and sisters, after God elected based on His foreknowledge, He still sow seed on the different grounds, yes. And even use the other grounds for His plan on the good grounds to be accomplished. Amen. Later in our sharing, brothers and sisters, we shall see how God used the other three grounds to fulfill His plan. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Amen. The seed of God is His word, and it is the gospel that we preach. Amen. Now, the scripture said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world." For what purpose? For a witness unto all nations. For a witness unto all nations. Brothers and sisters, we are preaching the gospel. We are still planting seed until this time, not only to find the last elect, as others would say, but also we are preaching the gospel. We're still sowing seed as a witness. That's what Matthew 24 verse 14 says, but also as a witness. Why? The seed should also be sown unto different grounds. The Bible said as a witness, because we can see, brothers and sisters, God is a righteous judge. He is a fair judge. And so the gospel should be heard by all nations as a witness, so that during the judgment day, nobody can point their fingers to God and said, "You didn't tell us. We have not heard your gospel. There was no seed planted upon us." So God is a fair judge. Amen. And so we still are going to preach the gospel until His return. Amen. Amen. Because He is a fair judge. In the day of judgment, no one could point their fingers to God and said, "You are an unfair God," because they have heard the gospel. They receive the seed. Amen. Now, God chose and predestinated the good grounds, and nobody can pluck them out from the hands of God. Amen. But who are those whose names are blotted out from the book of the living? Who are those that continue to sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth? We will talk more about this tomorrow, as we start to harmonize the four grounds with the stature of a perfect man. And hopefully, God willing, we'll have a complete picture of all spiritual queries regarding this matter. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stay blessed, brothers and sisters. Shalom.